The reason why we exist as a church, here's our vision. We are called upon by God to be a strong church that bears the burdens of the weak. A strong church, what does that mean? It means we need to be good at what we do. I tell our team, praise and worship team, child care team all the time, I stop and say, you need to be good at what you do. I'm not saying you have to be the best, but I'm saying you better be your best. When you get up there, you better be your best. Why? You have to be good at what you do. Why? We have to be a strong church. We have to be. Why do we have to be a strong church? Because we got to bear some burdens. And the stronger we are, the more we can bear bigger and more burdens. We exist to not only minister to you, but to take the ministry we give to you and to make you stronger so you can make us stronger so that we can bear more burdens. Literally, about 2 years ago to this day, I was on a vacation. Sometimes you just need to get away. Can I get an amen? The pullback is for the comeback. And with that, I was on a vacation just relaxing. And we were sitting on the beach, me and my wife, and had a book, and I was reading it. I put it down and just started watching my kids build sandcastles and just having a good time like only kids can have. And I started praying in the Spirit, and as I did, the Lord started dealing with me. And He said, here, lately, you've been talking to me a lot about growing your church. And it was true, I had been. You've been talking to me a lot about growing the church. You've been talking to me a lot about paying off the church. It was true, I had been. And He said, before I help you with those things, I need to know something. Here's what I need to know. Why do you want your church to grow? Why do you want the building paid off? What is the purpose for your strength? He dealt with me about a story. I've told it before, but we want to use this CD not only for you guys, but for also every new member who joins the church from here on out. The story he told me was the story of Moses and Joshua. Now, there are many stories, but the one I'm talking about is there was a time when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and it was a barren place. There was no water. There was no, you could put it this way, life. And Moses smote the rock, you know the story, and water came out and gave everyone in that community life where there was no life before. It's a type and shadow of the gospel. And hundreds of thousands of people are drinking this water and receiving nourishment and life. And as soon as they receive this nourishment, an enemy arises to take from them what God gave to them. And there will always be an enemy that arises to take from you what God gives to you. And with this, Moses, who's the leader of the children of Israel, does something very interesting. He does not engage in warfare with the enemy. He doesn't pull out a sword or use his staff to kind of beat someone over the head with. Instead, it kind of looks like he runs from the fight. He starts walking away from the battle and marches up a hill, and he stands on the hill, and when he gets up there, he lifts up the rod of God in his hand. You know the story. And as he's standing there with the rod of God in his hand, a power is coming from him, a strength, if you will, was coming from him that was hitting Joshua and the children of Israel out in the field. And the more power that came from Moses that hit Joshua, it enabled Joshua to keep the territory that God had given Joshua and to advance the territory that God had given that nation. Well, as he's doing this, Moses gets tired and his arms drop. And when his arms drop, that power stops coming from him. And the children of Israel and Joshua begin losing. Well, two men by the name of Aaron and Hur, they recognize what's going on here. They see when Moses' arms are up, we win. When Moses' arms are down, we're losing. And so they march up the hill where Moses is at, and they make it their ministry to help his ministry. They say, Moses, we need you to do something. We need you to sit down. Sit down. Here's your rock. Get comfortable. Sit down. I don't know how comfortable you can get on a rock, but they didn't have any cushion, I guess, so they just said, sit down on this rock. So they roll up the rock, ask him to sit down. When he sits down, they do something. One gets on one side of him. The other one gets on the other side of him. And they said, Moses, lift up your arms. And they get underneath his arms to lift his arms up. And that strength is steady, minute after minute, coming from Moses, hitting the Joshuas who are out in the field, and they win the war. And the Lord dealt with me. He said, over the last couple of years, your church has been in a position of strength. And it was true. The Lord has blessed this place. My goodness, He's blessed this place. Thousands of people worship here. He's blessed this place. Every year we've seen growth. He has blessed this place. And the Lord dealt with me on that day. He said, I've given you strength. When Moses was on the hill, it looked like he was very comfortable. He's away from the war. He's away from the battle. And he said, in your life now, you're very comfortable. And I couldn't argue with that. It's true. I am incredibly comfortable. But he said, Joel, you keep asking for strength. And you keep asking me to help you with this, but I need to know why. Because if all you're going to do with your strength is make yourself more comfortable, eventually you will run out of strength. Now, this is not just a principle for this church. This is a principle for life. If all you're asking for more strength for is, God, give me more strength so that I can make my life more comfortable, eventually you will run out of strength. But he said, Joel, if you will use your strength to send that strength to Joshua's who are out in the field, he said, I will send people into your ministry who will make it their ministry to help your ministry. And they'll enable you to sit down and they will lift up your arms so that you never run out of strength. And on the beach that day, I made a decision that from here on forward on that day, I would make it my ministry to find Joshua's. See, you can't help everyone, but just because you can't help everyone doesn't mean you shouldn't be helping someone. God has given you divine connections. There will be people who your life links up with, and your abundance is called to be a supply unto them. And the Lord dealt with me how he would send Joshua's into my life and ministries I would get to know, some here locally, some in other states, some in other nations. And it was our job to funnel the strength from this ministry financially and prayer strength and faith strength and to funnel that strength to them and bear their burdens. I made a decision that day in my heart to do it. We also made a decision around that time to quit passing buckets. You'd be amazed at how many phone calls we get where they call and they tell us, you forgot to take up the offering Sunday. We made a decision. We were not going to try to force you to love God, but just show you a God and truth. And if you could see him, you would love him. And something happened. I can't explain it, but a couple of weeks later, well, literally 3 months later, had two men walk in my office and said, when the guest speaker was preaching, we felt compelled to write you a check. And I looked at the check, and it was for literally half the amount of the debt on this building. And I rejoiced quietly on the inside, and when they left the room, I kind of ran around the sanctuary. I called the guest speaker and said, you got to come back and preach next week when you preach, man. A couple of weeks after that, this ministry was 100% debt-free. Amen. Since that time, we've given millions of dollars to world missions. We've seen God move in divine ways. And what I'm asking you to do is to see and hear the vision of this church and to get in unity with it. In the Old Testament, the people were so won over a project that was ungodly. They were going to build a tower all the way to heaven and worship false gods there. And God knew, I can't allow this to happen. So he had to come down and bring division, knowing that if division could get in their lives, the vision would never come to pass. Doesn't matter what vision you have for your life. If there's division in your life, the vision will never become a reality. And so he brought division, and immediately it killed division. And what I want us to do is to understand the power of unity. And at some point in your journey here at Word of Life, you make a decision to not just come here and support this ministry or serve on the dream team or be a life group leader or those types of things because of the personalities that are here in this ministry, but because you want to help us make the vision of this ministry a reality. Just this past month alone, we helped with a church plant in Miami. We built a church in Honduras, and we helped install a water filtration center over in Romania. All of that was on top of our regularly monthly support. On my desk right now, I've got a stack of checks that I'm going to sign so they can be the first checks that are signed and going out in the month of July to other ministries and missions. My prayer is that's the smallest those checks will ever be. Amen. And so I ask of all of us, whether you stay in this ministry or go to another, and people leave churches, I understand that. You have to understand that as a pastor, you're in for depression. That at some point in your journey, you connect with a church not because of the personality. You connect with a church because of the vision of that church. And you see it's a vision. You can leverage your life to get behind. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. We love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for these spectacular, beautiful, wonderful people. I ask you to bless them. Real quick, before you go, before we say goodbye, real quick. I don't know where your life may be or what you may be facing, but I do know that sin causes pain. I know that. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Joel, man, I am hurting. And I know it's because of sin. The good news is, God's not ashamed of you. Oh, he loves you. And if you're here and you say, Pastor Joel, I'm tired. I know I need him. I need forgiveness. I need life. I need love. I need mercy for my sin, but I need grace to live and to pick up the pieces of my life and begin to move forward. It's amazing, but you can get that right now. The Bible says you can come boldly before the throne of grace and get mercy and find grace in your time of need. All he needs you to do is to come. And so right now, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. If you're here and you say, Pastor Joel, that's me. I'm not going to make you walk an aisle. I'm not going to make anyone look at you. This is just between you and God. But if you You say, Pastor Joel, that's me. Would you just lift your hand all over this place? This is all I'm going to ask you to do. That's it. Hands going up all over the place. I'm just asking you to come. This is you coming. This is you submitting to God, saying, God, I need you. Jesus, I need you. All over this place. Hands going up. Let's pray. Every one of us. Just repeat this after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe you sent Jesus to die for me. I believe not only did he die, but on the third day, he rose again from the grave. Lord Jesus, you're the Savior of my life. My sins are washed away. They are forgiven. I am clean. You've forgiven me. So I forgive myself, and I say boldly, my best days are in front of me, and starting right now, in Jesus' name, amen.